The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, September 8th, 2014. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 15th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some of the historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included... BroadwayWorld.com, as usual, ran a number of stories, including the current production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by California Shakespeare Theater in Berkeley, California, the opening of Henry V by Austin Shakespeare starring Robert Ferres at the Rollins Studio Theater in Austin, Texas, and the upcoming production of Pericles by the Atlanta Shakespeare Company at the New American Shakespeare Tavern in Atlanta, Georgia. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution ran a story on the cancellation of Georgia Shakespeare's upcoming production of Henry V due to insufficient operating funds. The organization is now left to ponder its future. On the other hand, the Royal Shakespeare Company announced its 2015 slate of plays, which includes The Merchant of Venice, Othello, and Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman. AL.com ran a story on the announcement of the 2015 season by the Alabama Shakespeare Festival, including As You Like It and King Lear. And Sydneyland ran a story on the announcement by Sydney Theatre Company of its 2015 schedule, which includes Jeffrey Rush as King Lear. The Daily Bulletin ran a story on the 10th season of Southern California Shakespeare Festival, focusing on its upcoming production of Julius Caesar with a female Caesar. The Valley Journal of Ronan, Montana ran a story on a production of As You Like It by Nine Pipe Arts Group, which brought the play outdoors for an audience in Charlo, Montana. The Chinese news site ecns.cn ran a story on the traveling production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare's Globe that has arrived in Shanghai. The Independent ran a story on the Royal Shakespeare Company's casting of Lucien Samati as Iago in next season's Othello. Why is this noteworthy? Because it's the first time the RSC has cast a black Iago with a black Othello. NewsOK.com ran a story on the closing production of this lucky season of Oklahoma Shakespeare in the Park, Macbeth, with a story discussing not only the play and the production, but the supposed curse as well. The LA Times ran a story on Paul Simon lending his voice and music to a benefit-staged reading of As You Like It for the Shakespeare Center in Los Angeles. It's pretty fitting, remember, since As You Like It has more songs than any other play in the canon. EntertainmentWise.com ran a story saying that Benedict Cumberbatch wants Jessica Chastain as Ophelia in his upcoming Barbican Hamlet run. As would I, Benedict. As would I. The Santa Barbara Independent ran a story previewing a black box version of Midsummer by the UCSB Drama and Dance Departments. The Standard Examiner previewed the upcoming production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Next Stage Production, which sets the play in 1969 with Theseus a stand-in for Nixon, and it begins its run in Farmington, Utah. NJ.com previewed the upcoming production of Antony and Cleopatra by MacArthur Theater Center in Princeton, New Jersey. The Guardian of Trinidad and Tobago reviewed the one-night-only revival of Julius Caesar by the Oratory Foundation, saying the political discontent in the play pulsates with historical significance in the Caribbean. Los Angeles Magazine Online previewed the upcoming production of The Tempest by South Coast Repertory in Costa Mesa, California. I know this is the second time I've mentioned the show, but man, it's Teller and Tom Waits. This could be very cool. And on top of that, Southern California Public Radio also ran a story on that same production with interview snippets with the principal talents. IndieWire.com ran a story on the upcoming premiere of the film adaptation of Cymbeline at the Venice Film Festival. The film, starring Ethan Hawke and Ed Harris, doesn't yet have a release date, but the trailer looks intriguing. The Hollywood Reporter then reviewed that debut at the Venice Film Festival and said that while there were some elements that worked, it is ultimately a misconceived project, and Variety also reviewed the film, giving it only a slightly more positive review, but still noting that the modern dress production felt out of sync with the times. The Guardian gave a rave review for The Comedy of Errors by Shakespeare's Globe, saying that the play is handled with delight, humor, and magic. The Telegraph also reviewed the production, but was not nearly as kind, saying that it failed to raise a laugh. The Inquirer reviewed Measure for Measure by Dulog UP, calling the Philippine production impressive, but noting that this complex play will leave the viewer with complex and conflicted feelings. The Modesto Bee reviewed Cymbeline by Merced Shakespeare Fest, calling it not your typical live performance of Shakespeare, what with its ballet, bluegrass, and rendition of Starlight Vocal Band's Afternoon Delight. And the Examiner.com reviewed Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead by Kansas City Actors Theater, calling it a comedic slap at Hamlet and giving it 5 stars. Now, let's take a look back at the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On September 2nd, 31 BC, the forces of Mark Antony and Cleopatra were defeated by Octavian and his navy at the Battle of Actium. This effectively ended the First War of the Roman Republic, allowing Octavian to gather power, be named Augustus, and begin the Roman Empire. The Battle of Actium is depicted in Antony and Cleopatra. On September 3rd, 1189, Richard I, Lionheart, was coronated as King of England, succeeding Henry II at the age of 32. Henry was the father of King John. On September 4th, 1455, Henry Stafford, the second Duke of Buckingham, was born. Buckingham was one of the supporters of Richard, Duke of Gloucester, in his rise to become Richard III. Some believe he was responsible for the disappearance of the princes in the Tower. Later, he would turn against Richard, but his rebellion was crushed, and he was captured and executed for treason. And this is depicted in Richard III. On September 5th, 1990, Tom Stoppard's film of his absurdist play, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, premiered at the Venice Film Festival. The film starred Tim Roth as Guildenstern and Gary Oldman as Rosencrantz, with Richard Dreyfuss as the player king. While it won the Golden Lion at Venice and received some pretty good reviews, it was neither a critical nor commercial hit. Also in film news, on September 6, 1998, Akira Kurosawa died. The Japanese film director made two of the best Shakespearean adaptations ever made, Throne of Blood, a Samurai Macbeth from 1957 with Toshirô Mifune, and Ron, a King Lear with 3 sons instead of daughters in 1985. On September the 7th, 1533, Queen Elizabeth I, the ruler during the majority of Shakespeare's life, was born to Henry VIII and Anne Boleyn. She began her rule on November 17, 1558, at the age of 25, when she succeeded her half-sister Mary, Queen of Scots. And on September the 8th, 1157, Richard I Lionheart was born at Oxford, England. King Richard was the father of King John, as we mentioned just a few moments before. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending September the 8th, 2014. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we'll catch you next week.